multifaceted entertainer Michael Feinstein, dubbed the ambassador of the Great American Songbook, is here to talk about the London Festival of Cabaret, which he will be headlining on November 4th, and give us his spin on our LGBT issues. Hi, Michael.
Hello.
Tell us about your upcoming shows, especially Michael Feinstein and Friends that you'll be performing in London.
Well, one of my favorite places to work is London because the audiences are so deeply appreciative of theater and musical theater and the music that I perform, which is primarily classic songs from the Great American Songbook, as we now call it. And the show that I'm putting together for London is going to be a whole cornucopia of classic songs that people connect with me and want to hear, like Gershwin and Cole Porter and Berlin and Kern, and then some newer things that I've been working on, as well as a Sinatra tribute, because Frank Sinatra was a great influence on me and was kind to me early in my career. And the show is being sponsored by the Irving Berlin family and the Noel Coward Estate, so there'll be some Irving Berlin and Coward songs. And I have two special guests, that's why the show's called Michael Feinstein and Friends. The first being the iconic Elaine Page, who's going to do some solos, and then I'll do a duet with her. And the incredible Julian Ovenden, who seemingly can do anything when it comes to the arts. And I haven't even met him, but have been a fan from afar. So truly looking forward to performing with both of these wonderful people.
What's your inspiration for creating your shows?
In creating a show, I want to find something about the songs that I perform that will be fresh, not only for myself, but for my audiences. Because a lot of the songs that I sing are songs that have been heard many times before, but the only way I can perform or sing anything is if I feel totally connected to it and feel that I can express something that might not have been expressed in it before. And I also am mindful of the fact that there are always going to be people in the audience who might never have heard these songs before, so I have to treat them as if they are first performances, because for somebody, they are.
What would you like to accomplish with your work?
My greatest desire with my work is to simply reach people in a way that will inspire them to feel better about their lives, to feel better about the world, because I think that's the great power of art, to transform our hearts and souls, to give us a certain kind of energy or power to create things that otherwise we might not be able to do. And especially in these times when there is so much turmoil and there is so much going at an incredibly fast pace and things seem to be speeding up, I feel that art, and hopefully my music in particular, gives people a sense of stopping and slowing down and connecting, because we need to have those times as a balance for everything else going on now.
What is your personal commitment to LGBT civil rights?
One of the interesting things in my life has been the evolution I've gone through in my perception about LGBT rights. I guess it happens to everybody. But for me, I have been less on a soapbox and more just living my life as openly and freely as I can. So when I come in contact with people with whom I have differing points of view, the gentle approach of them seeing me and my husband, Terrence, in a social situation is sometimes more powerful than anything else. Like, I was invited to the Younger Bush White House on Valentine's Day a few years ago to perform, and everyone was saying, well, how can you do that? Well, my agreement was that I would only go to the White House if I could bring Terrence as my life partner, because we weren't married then, and we would be treated as a couple. And we were. We were introduced together, we were treated as a couple, and we were with, on Valentine's Day, it was almost all the Bush family's close friends. And that, to me, was a very powerful statement. The thing that was interesting for me is that I had to hold in check my own emotions about some of the people who were there, whom I perceived as being those who threatened my own freedom. And yet, when I connected with them on a human level, it was very freeing for me, and in a certain way freeing for them. And I think that's one of the things that has led us towards more marriage equality.
You married your partner, Terrence, in 2008. What was your reaction to the U.S. Supreme Court Prop 8 and DOMA rulings?
It's just amazing, as I think it is for a lot of people of my generation, to see how quickly we've moved forward and to see things happen that we didn't think were possible in our lifetime. And so I think that's extraordinary and joyous. And yet we cannot forget all of the travails and problems and more horrible things that happen to people who choose to live their lives in a way that is not, quote, the norm in our Western society.
LGBTQ teens are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers, and we continue to have numerous teens taking their own lives after facing bullying incidents. What advice would you have for these kids?
That's a hard question to answer, in the sense that when I think about how fragile these young souls are, and of course I think, like many people, I wish that I could meet them, talk to them, and tell them that being in school is just a moment in time. It will change and it will pass. Eventually we will leave the homes in which we grow up and we will go out and live our own lives. And thank goodness we have the internet so kids can see other people in the world and see how other people live. However, it still is the incredible problem of peer pressure and such. And I think the best thing that I can say is to really tell a young person that nothing is forever. Life is ever-changing, and the pain can and will pass. A bullying incident and these things that happen, they pass. And if we are lucky enough to get through them, it gives us a certain courage and builds a certain thing in our lives that will make us stronger to be able to live more happily and freely as we grow older.
How can people get information about where you'll be performing?
Of course, I have michaelfeinstein.com, and then I'm on Twitter, and I'm on Facebook. I'm very much out there in the digital domain, and very happy to connect with people that way. It's really funny because, like a lot of performers, I'm in touch with more people than I've ever been at any other point in my life, but it's never on a one-to-one basis.
What other projects are you working on?
I've been working on a musical called The Gold Room that I think is going to be produced in London in the next year or two. I say I think because the road to producing a musical is one that can take many twists and turns, but that's looking very good, and I'm very excited about having my first musical produced. I'm working on another recording that is probably going to be not Great American Songbook standards, but standards from the country music catalog, because there are all these great country standards that to me are the equal of Gershwin and Current Porter that I would like to cover, probably as duets with iconic country stars. So I'm looking forward to that. And then I have my regular NPR radio series, Song Travels, that's in its 3rd season, and I'm really enjoying doing that show because I get to interview everybody from Joshua Bell to David Hyde Pierce to Liza Minnelli and Elaine Stritch. Johnny Mathis just did the show. It's really exciting for me to speak to other artists and then make music with them. So Song Travels is a show that I'm very focused on right now.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
There are so many things that I do in my life, and sometimes people who interview me only are aware of one aspect of what I do, and I guess most people think of me as a singer. But lately I've been conducting, and I've been named the principal pops conductor of the Pasadena Symphony Orchestra. And that's been a joyous experience. I've done my first season, and I'm signed for another 3, so to be able to program unusual concert music is very exciting. And I've also opened a club, a Feinstein's, in San Francisco. It's at the Hotel Nikko, and I'll be there on New Year's Eve, and we'll appear at the club a few times through the year when I'm not doing other concert venues and appearing with other orchestras. So I'm very proud of creating a club that has a presence in San Francisco. And we're planning on reopening Feinstein's in New York sometime next spring. So that's something that has me very excited.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
My mantra is a very simple one, but it's absolutely the most comforting for me. And that is, God's will be done. God's will be done is something that allows me to get out of my own way, to understand that I am not alone in the world, and that there is a higher power that is always there, whether I see it or not, whether I feel it or not. I have come to know in my heart that life is good, and everything that happens, happens for a greater good. And therefore, God's will be done is truly my mantra.